Welcome to Film School Radio, the on-air online showcase for the best in independent documentary and foreign films, every Friday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. Pacific and online at filmschoolradio.com. I'm your host, Mike Kaspar. Ray is an ordinary man who runs an ordinary business in the fictional town of Leroy, Texas. He longs for his wife's affections, but they're being given to someone else. As if this love triangle weren't complicated enough, a third character enters into the conversation. Skip, a private detective who is mocked by the local police force and always dressed in the latest cowboy fashions. Leroy, Texas is a complex tale involving love triangles, real and fake, blackmail, counter-blackmail, and manslaughter, and so much more. It is compelling, funny, dark, but always entertaining. Again, the film is called Leroy, Texas, and we're joined today by the director and writer, Shane Atkinson. Shane, welcome to Film School Radio.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm happy to be here.
As I was just mentioning, this is a film that is compelling and entertaining, and it reminds me of other films that are in this sort of genre of noir and suspense and love triangles and other things, but it stands on its own. What inspired you to write, direct this film, Leroy, Texas?
Circumstances were a big part of it. I had some other projects that I was trying to get off the ground and spent a lot of time pitching for different projects and you know, just trying to get things made and got a little frustrated. So I put everything on the back burner and I just wanted to sit down and write something for myself, something that excited me, a movie that I wanted to see, a movie that I wanted to, you know, spend many hours and days and weeks and months putting together in my little writing space. And so just kind of out of frustration, I just, you know, I didn't really want any input, or I didn't want to try to write anything that I thought would sell or would, you know, be something that somebody else was interested in. So I just kind of sat down and wrote that for me. So that was the circumstance that generated it. And I just thought, you know, if I have to just, you know, sit down and make this with my iPhone and, you know, call on every favor, then I'm just going to do it, but I'm just going to make something. So that was the kind of the mentality I had going into it. And then as far as like inspiration, I mean, many, many different things, many films, many books, plays. There's, I don't know. I can go into specifics if you want, but you
well,
know,
maybe
a long list of things that inspired me and that I stole from shamelessly.
The thing about this film, I'd be curious in terms of your process of putting this film together. Did you have one basic through line and then you started layering on top of it? Or did you write these? Because there are a number of different storylines and a lot of characters in the film. How does that process work for you as a writer? So, and as a director, you have to think this through visually as well. But are you got your one storyline and then you build sort of the tributaries off that river? Or what? How did it work for you?
So my process is I when I feel like I have an idea that I want to pursue, I get a notebook for it and a pen. And I just spend time just trying to be open and free and just writing down maybe a piece of dialogue that comes into my head or an idea for a character or a location or a scenario. And I just try to not be, I'm very self-critical. And I tried at that point to just be very free and open and not, you know, not judge or dismiss any bad idea. You know, so I just have pages and pages and pages and I'll fill up a notebook. You know, most of it's terrible. Most of it doesn't go in there, but I just try to generate as many ideas as I can. And eventually things start to connect like, oh, this character feels like it could be in a scene with this character, or this scene's really fun. I don't know where it goes, but feels like it could be in there somewhere. Or here's like a great piece of dialogue that I could build a scene around maybe. And so I just have a lot of like very separate ideas that hopefully I can start to assemble and bring together. And so my next step after that is a whiteboard where I try to, you know, take the ideas I like and see if I could put them into an outline that makes a little bit of sense.
Yeah. Did you always have this, and correct me if I'm wrong, to say this is a film noir, there's a layer of humor in it. Was it always that? And did you always see Texas as the place that you wanted to have this set in?
Yeah. So, I mean, I definitely thought of it as a film noir. I wanted it to be a comedy. I wanted it to be funny, but I love those old films. I'm based in Portland, Oregon, and there's a great video store actually that's still open that has a great collection. And we were just there last night in the film noir section and looking for something to watch. So I love those old movies, and it was definitely, those were a big inspiration, what I was going for. And Texas was always a part of the story for sure. Like I wanted to something. We didn't have a huge budget, and so I wanted like an interesting landscape that we could get a lot of production value for not a lot of money. The characters in the story, they're all pursuing something, and they're all at the point in their lives where they're a little bit desperate. And so I wanted kind of like a bleak, harsh landscape that mirrored that internal struggle that they were feeling. And so I wanted something that reflected that. I really just love West Texas. I love the landscape. I love the architecture. I love the signage. It's just a very specific, very cool, very interesting place. I have a lot of family in small Western towns like this. My wife's from, not from Texas, but she's from a little town in Wyoming. And I found myself really, writing a lot of these locations and characters and stuff. I was kind of like stealing from that town where she lived. So, having a small, interesting town like that set in like a Western landscape was one of the early ideas for the story.
The main characters I mentioned, Ray, played by John Magaro, he's an interesting character and truly moves the needle in a lot of different directions in the film. And his sense of what he is and what he wants to be is a very important part of the film. Did you have something in mind for Ray?
I didn't have a specific actor in mind, but I definitely had an idea. I think with all these characters, I had a pretty strong idea of the type of actors that I wanted. That was very, very important to me. I knew we were going to be, it's tough to get an independent film made. It's very tough to get your first film made. There's a little bit of a temptation that I had found in the process of trying to get other projects made where you just kind of go for the easiest casting decision. Maybe somebody knows somebody and you can get that person, or this person could be, really helpful with financing for a certain reason. And I just really knew from past experience that I had to really guard the casting process. And so my very first meeting with producers that I met, I just said that, look, this is going to be a difficult casting process, but we have to find the right people for the roles. We have to find people who can give like honest emotional performances, but still keep that comedy bubbling underneath. It's a very specific skill set that not every good actor can do. And I just, I knew that the movie was going to live or die based on the performances, and finding the right actors, no matter how long it took, was, I felt like it was my most important job as a director. And so for my very first meeting with my producers, I just said, look, this is the kind of movie I'm making, and these are the kind of actors I'm looking for. This is kind of the approach that I want to take. If that's not how you make movies, or if that's not a process you're interested in, then, thank you very much for your time. I don't want to waste it. Thankfully they were supportive, and they were interested in finding the right people too. And so we ended up with a really, really terrific cast. There's quite a few characters from, across the board. They're all really talented and give great performances. And so that was something that was always like a, the main goal for me trying to bring this script to life, is finding those people who could pull that off.
Yeah, and you did exactly. I couldn't agree more. You know, Steve Zahn, who it plays a very interesting part in the film. He's sort of tangential to the story for most of the film. He's not a character that the plot is driven by, but he provides just exactly what you said. There's a sense of humor about him, but also he can also, in his own way, turn on that dramatic impulse in his character very effectively. And there, yeah, your number of Matthew Del Negro, who plays Ray's brother, Junior. There's a number of people in the film who manage to keep that, I don't know, levity. Is that a right word to
Sure,
use? Yeah,
yeah, I think
the
so.
levity in a very serious situation and a very serious plot.
Yeah, that's like a very rare skill for an actor to be able to do. It's a very specific talent, and finding those kind of, great actors who could keep that balance, kind of do both things at once, that comedy and drama, was very important. And we found people who could do that very well. I mean, Steve can do anything. I mean, he's just great. He can, you know, any genre, whatever. I mean, he's so watchable. He can just do anything. He's great. And he kind of inserts himself into this narrative, I would say. And he's a central character because he sort of forces his way into the story. But finding not only people who could play that role, but John's role as well. But finding like the right chemistry between two actors, you know, because if you have two actors that are kind of have the same energy, then it becomes a little repetitious. They cancel each other out. So finding people who complement each other in the right way is really important. And I love the scenes with those two characters. They play so beautifully together. They're both extremely talented actors, but they have very different styles. They have very different energies, and they just complement each other so well. And I think they had a really good time working with each other. They had never worked with each other before. They wanted to work with each other, with the other. And anytime they were on set together, anytime they were interacting, it just felt like magic.
I just want to remind our listeners that we're speaking with the director of Leroy, Texas. The film is the theatrical run over? Are we still in theaters? I'm sorry.
Yeah. So that it's the theatrical run over, but it's available on VOD and will be streaming on subscription streamers later this year.
A couple of other actors who I thought were terrific in the film. Dylan Baker, I would say more or less playing against type in this role than we've generally seen him, although I have seen him in more dramatic films. But he's a guy that when you see him, kind of recognize him as the guy next door, the neighbor, whatever, and a lot of the stuff he does. Definitely plays against type in this.
Yeah, Dylan was great. He was somebody that we cast a little bit late. We didn't have anybody for that role. You know, it was a big stress trying to figure that out. And John knew him and had worked with him. They're both New York actors. I think they had done a play together. As soon as he suggested him, it was just like, oh, it'll be amazing. He would be perfect. And thankfully, he was willing to do it. Every scene that he's in is just great. He just steals every scene that he's in. Yeah, he's got such like an, you know, he's a very nice guy, wonderful to work with, but he just has such like a nice, friendly, everyman quality to him. And so seeing him flip that is a lot of fun. It needed to be somebody who could convincingly do both, you know, who could kind of move through these towns and these scenes and these interactions and be totally overlooked and be the last guy that you would ever expect to be involved in this, but also be able to, on the flip of a dime, be able to access something deeper and darker. And he's, you know, able to do both those things so well.
That opening scene is just terrific. And if that doesn't set in motion a lot of the things that you should anticipate in watching Leroy, Texas, then I don't know what will, but it does set in motion a lot of expectations and subverting those expectations as well for the course of the film. Broadly speaking, Harry, who is Dylan Baker's character, for a frame of reference for our listeners, if you were to take Javier Bardem from No Country for Old Men and put a cardigan sweater on him, I think that's somewhere where you might be able to understand this particular character of Harry's. There is so much to recommend, and in addition, all the superb actors. Megan Stevenson, who plays Stacey Lynn, is wonderful in the film. There's just so many. Another one that is we don't see until later on in the film, who I just thought was terrific. Brad Leland, who plays Adam Ladeau.
Yeah, he comes in late, but he comes in with force.
He does. He does. And every time I see him in a film, I'm so drawn to him. He just feels like just a big bear hug of a character whenever you see him.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, he's somebody that like everyone was excited when the day that he came on set. He's a lot of fun in real life, and that personality and that charm and that charisma just overflows for sure.
Well, in addition to all of the great acting and this incredible storyline that takes you down many roads, and there's a lot of misdirection. Initially, it's misdirection, but as the film moves on, you see how it all connects. And the look of it, is it Mingju Yu?
Yeah, Mingju, who is our cinematographer, really talented DP, who I had never worked with. you know, in searching for different crew positions, you did a lot of research, came across his work, and it just immediately stood out. Really, really talented. And, you know, it's a indie film. It's a debut feature. So it's always going to be a challenge having the time and resources that you need. And, you know, I knew we weren't going to have a lot of time to do this. And it's always a sprint and, you know, really challenging circumstances, he came in and really did a good job. The movie looks much better than it had any right to. It looks a lot more expensive than it actually was. And a big part of that is his photography.
Yeah, it really does. And you've got the setting of Texas, you've got a lot of light, and then you've got a lot of the sort of the dark shadows.
He's, you know, really wonderful with light. I knew that he could get, you know, something really interesting in those locations. It was actually for his lighting ability that I wanted to work with him, because I knew I wanted something a little bit stylized and a little bit noirish, and to lean into that whenever we had the opportunity in our night scenes.
The reaction to the film on Leroy, Texas has been very, very good. 100% on Rotten Tomatoes, and the reviews, if you read them, are glowing, really embracing the film and what you did with it. Are you getting the kind of opportunities now because of the reaction to the film? What's going on with you as a filmmaker and your career moving forward?
We've showed it a number of festivals, and I'm told that people are starting to find the film. So I hope that's true. The response that I've heard so far has been very generous and very nice, which is, you know, lovely. You make things for people, you know, you hope people enjoy it. You hope people find it, but especially with the first film and a little project, you don't know if it'll ever find an audience, if anybody will ever see it. So it's nice that people are starting to see it, and that so far people have been generous about it. That's very, very much appreciated. I have a new project that I'm working on right now, a new script that I've written with some of the same producers, and hoping to shoot that later this year, if we can, as soon as possible. I'm hoping to get back into production.
Well, it feels like you made the film you wanted.
Yeah. I was watching an interview with somebody recently. I think it was a Jerry Seinfeld interview, and he had a comment that try to make the thing that you want to make, because if it fails, you can live with that, you know. And I really responded to that, and that was the goal. I thought, you know, I just really want, it's so easy to get blown one way or the other. It's such a hard thing to get a project off the ground. It's very, very easy to get tempted by this or to change it to this to get it made. And my mentality was that I just want to make the thing that I want to make. And if it fails miserably, at least I failed, you know, doing the thing that I was trying to do. You know, it's a little hard to live with yourself. You fail when you've compromised and you don't like the thing yourself that you made. So that was definitely the goal.
Well, congratulations. Good on you for trusting your instincts, and especially with this film. And I look forward to more. Shane Atkinson, you mentioned you've done short film work in the past. Learned a lot, apparently, because this one really, really sings. So my congratulations to you on your work.
Thank you so much. I really, really appreciate it. Thank you for your kind words, and thank you for taking the time to talk with me and talk about the film. I really appreciate it.
Again, we've been talking to the writer, director of Leroy, Texas. That would be Shane Atkinson. Thanks.
Really appreciate it.
You've been listening to Film School Radio, the on-air online showcase for the best in independent documentary and foreign films. You can find out more about the program at filmschoolradio.com. I'm your host, Mike Kaspar. Thank you for tuning in, and we'll see you next week with another edition of Film School Radio.